Good afternoon. Here we are together again at Living Free from the Pain of Divorce speaker series. I've been on such a high this week. It feels so fabulous to be connected to so many people willing to open up to new possibilities for their lives. And I want you to know that that is a big deal. Thank you to all of you who've been asking questions and participating with the speakers. I think it really helps to make it more meaningful for your lives when you do that, whether on the webcast or live questions. We appreciate all of that. As you know, this week we've been focusing on healing the pain of divorce and emerging stronger. You've received many different ideas from our speakers about how that could happen for you. You know, one of the great comments was, how do you stop judging yourself and just embrace all of you instead of, you know, thinking that that's bad or good about yourself? And then we also learned 7 questions that can help you work through the fear of your pain. So we're glad that we're offering you all this to help you, you know, have the changes that are needed for you in your life. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to hear from the Love and Magic coach, Cindy Chavez. She broke ground for us with her talk on the magic in your broken heart and how to unlock the hidden miracle in the pain you're experiencing. And, you know, have you ever thought that your deepest wound would be connected to your life purpose? Well, Cindy shared how that pain's essential to your happiness, and she took us through a process to unravel it. If you didn't have a chance to listen, remember you can go to the replays at replays.livingfreefromdivorce.com. So, as we begin today's conversation, let's just think about this. You know, people are who they are and do what they do, whether or not we like it or agree with them. We each have different lessons to learn. We each take a different path to our lessons. Sometimes when these people cross our paths, we can stumble and fall. That doesn't make them wrong or you right. The only thing a judgment does is distract you from what it's meant, what it's meant to do for you. Different is not right or wrong, and boy, that's been hard for me to learn, but it is a reality. Differences become problems only when we choose to measure ourselves, determine who is right or who is wrong. Today, you're in for a great big treat with a dynamic expert in child-centered divorce, Rosalyn Sadeka. She's one amazing person. But before we begin, let's close our eyes and take a few deep breaths, going inside to where all your wisdom resides. You have within you everything that you need to know. Just breathe into that. Take another deep breath and sink even deeper. Think about what is your intention for the call today. Just trust whatever pops up. How are you feeling today as compared to the beginning of the week or yesterday? Do you feel resistance, willingness, hope, more open? Take notice of where you are, not bad or good, it just is. Honor yourself wherever you are. Take another deep breath and just take all that in. And just come back to the call. Parenting is the hardest job in the world. Add a divorce to that, and you have truly complicated being a parent. One of the hardest parts of a divorce is making sure our kids are healthy and safe. We are so angry, overwhelmed, frightened, betrayed, embarrassed, and shameful because of divorce. Those are part of the divorce process. It's what we do with them that matters. So today, Rosalind's going to be sharing with us helping your children deal with divorce, coping skills for kids and you. But let me tell you a little bit about Rosalind. She's had years of experience and expertise in helping families create child-centered divorce. I could actually spend this entire session giving you all of Rosalind's credentials and accomplishments, but let me just share a few. Rosalind's a divorce and parenting coach. She's the founder of Child Center Divorce Network, which provides valuable advice and resources for parents who are facing moving through or transitioning after divorce. She's an author of How Do I Tell the Kids About Divorce? A Creative Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love, which is an internationally acclaimed ebook designed to help parents create the best possible outcome for themselves and their children when having the tough divorce talk. Rosalind's featured in a number of magazines, and she has numerous websites, whether it's the childcenterdivorce.com one or womendatingafter40.com. So, wow, Rosalind, tell us how you became so passionate and accomplished with the notion of child-centered divorce.
Well, thank you, Dottie. It's such a pleasure to be talking with you. I love your passion about this topic, and I am equally passionate because, like most of your listeners, I was in their place facing divorce. My son was 11 at the time, and I was overwhelmed with deep guilt, fear, and anxiety about screwing him up for life as a result of my divorce. In fact, it kept me from getting a divorce for many, many years. And finally, I realized that the tension in the home and the way we were role modeling as parents was not really healthy for my son. And I knew that divorce would be a better outcome because he would be living with parents in two separate homes where there would be more peace and more happiness. And it did turn out that way. But I stayed up for weeks and weeks of sleepless nights trying to figure out how to break the news to him. And ultimately, at 4 o'clock one morning, I came up with an idea that I followed up on, and it became this storybook that I used to break the news to him with family photos and texts that I wrote, because my background is as a writer. And I said to myself, you know, this is really a great idea, and I couldn't find anything like it anywhere. I should write a book and make it available for other parents. Well, I sat on the idea for more than a decade, and life went by. I co-parented my son, raised him to a grown adult young man, and finally, more than 15 years later, I said, you know, I wonder if I should try writing that book using my storybook idea with fill-in-the-blank templates that parents could customize but use most of the text that I've written for them and make age-appropriate templates so that they can have the words and add it to a photo album or a scrapbook and present it to their children at the time of the divorce talk, which is such a tough, tough conversation that everyone dreads. And it was like automatic writing. It just came. It flew through me. It was one of the easier things I've ever done in life, and I was amazed. And that was more than 6 years ago. And the ebook has taken off. It's sold all around the world exclusively from my one website, howdoitellthekids.com. And what makes it so unique and usable is that it does have the templates to put in your own history, add your family photos, and when you use it at the time of the divorce talk, it becomes a script for the parents so that they don't forget any of the six key essential messages that every child needs to hear when being spoken to about divorce. And it also is a book about your children, and so they're immediately interested in themselves and seeing pictures of them and their family, and it's something that they can read and reread over and over again in the weeks and months, even years following the divorce, to keep them on target and remind them of how much they are loved and valued and getting the important messages that this divorce was not their fault and other messages. And I have six psychotherapists who contributed to the book as well. So it's become my signature book, and it led to my creating the Child-Centered Divorce Network, which is international as well, and we have a free weekly newsletter and a blog and tons of articles and advice and really valuable resources. Anything you could possibly want to know about divorce and parenting issues, we have resources for you to go to. And I've since created several programs and courses so that parents have help in addition to one-on-one coaching. So I'm the go-to place for anyone dealing with child-centered divorce. And that means parents who really understand the importance of putting your children's needs, emotional and psychological needs, first before making any other divorce decisions. Because when you don't, we see it in the headlines every day, unfortunately. We see the sad stories of children who are wounded and scarred and hurt and feel neglected and abused as a result of the divorce, children who act out, who are angry, who turn to drugs, to turn to addictions, because they are so frustrated and upset about this experience that happened to them. But studies have shown that it's not divorce per se that harms children. It's the way parents handle divorce. And so my mission in life is to help parents make the right decisions in the best possible way so that everyone in the family, children and parents, both parents, can move ahead and have the happiest future possible.
Oh, and that is so true. You know, I was a principal and educator forever, and I know, you know, everything that I read when I was going through the divorce is, you know, if your kids are divorced, you know, the world's going to collapse before them. But I guess as healthy as all of us could be after, you know, going through a divorce, I absolutely know what you mean. It's about the way that you handle it. From my experience and then also seeing many parents who did not handle it that well, you know, just seeing the children as they're growing up with it. And like you said, you can read it in the paper all the time and those kinds of things. So, wow, what a great mission that you've done, Rosalind, to be able to open that and to connect, like you said, all over the world. It doesn't matter where we are. We all need some help and support. And so that is...
Parents everywhere have the same, they have the same feelings, and they love their children. They don't want to hurt their children, but they inadvertently make some terrible, terrible mistakes. And the greatest achievement in my life was when my son, who became a grown young man in his early 20s, came to me one day and said, "You know, Ma, you and Daddy handled the divorce so well. I have so many friends who hated their parents or are very angry or very hurt by their divorce, and you guys did a great job." And to me, that was my greatest achievement because I had such guilt. I can't tell you how guilty I felt about doing this to him. And I realized that he did end up having much better life. He was starting to get migraine headaches and act out and from the tension at home. And had we stayed in that same environment, I think I would have lost him to his father, and he would have been pulled in two different directions, and there would have been more stress in his life. As it turned out, his father ultimately remarried. I remarried. Both of us are much happier in our second marriages. And my son is very happy because he didn't lose either of his parents. He's very close to both of us still. And he wrote the foreword to my book, which was really the greatest compliment that I could get. And he tells his story in a very sensitive way because it's not like it wasn't painful for him. But he is a strong supporter of the work that I'm doing and really believes that a child-centered divorce is the best possible option for anyone.
Wow. So what? How do you tell the kids about divorce, Rosalind?
Well, what you want to do is make sure they understand that they are in no way to blame, they are not responsible for the divorce, and that they're innocent. And so using the storybook concept is a very simple way of getting across the key messages that children need to understand so that they don't internalize, because divorce is the most confusing and frightening situation. Children are the security of their life is torn apart, and they don't know what to expect. They don't know what's going to be happening. And by explaining to them the six key messages, which I'll share now, the first is, this is not your fault, no matter what. Even if the parents are fighting about you, it's not your fault in any way. You're not to blame. The second important message is, you are and always will be safe. We have to let children understand, because they're too young to be able to fix this, and yet they will, no matter what age, they will try in some way to make it better and to fix it, and they can't. The two parents couldn't fix it. And so they have to be told by the parents that they're going to be safe, we're going to take care of everything, it's going to be all right, and you don't have to worry about that. The third message is that mom and dad will always be your mom and dad. You're not going to be losing either parent. And I hope and pray that in most cases, parents can co-parent in an effective way so that mom and dad are both in the picture. There are exceptions. There are some toxic parents that don't belong parenting, but that's a very small percentage compared to most. And so we want children to realize that the mom and dad that they love will always be their parents. And then the fourth message is, mom and dad will always love you. Children are very likely to feel on some level that if mom and dad divorced each other, maybe they'll divorce me down the line. And so it's a very insecure feeling, and we need to remind them that our love for you will never change. The fifth message is very important, and this is about change and not about blame. This isn't the time for mom and dad to start pointing the finger at each other and explaining to the kids why the other parent is such a bad parent and gang up and try to get the children on one side or the other. This is to talk about the fact that life is full of changes, and this is another chapter in our family's life. Change happens. We change grades in school. We change haircuts and clothing. The seasons change. It's just a part of life. This is a change in our family, but we're still a family. And the sixth message is, things will always work out okay. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be the parent and parent us. It's going to work out okay because mom and dad are responsible, and we're going to make it work out okay. And then, of course, it's up to mom and dad to be mature, responsible adults and do the right thing on behalf of their children. And that's the whole focus of the Child Centered Divorce Network and all of our programs and books and courses, is to help parents make the best decisions on behalf of their children. And the best way to do that is to put yourself in little Johnny and little Susie's shoes, to see the world through their eyes, whatever their age is, because divorce affects children differently at different ages. But no matter what the age is, it affects them. And so you need to be watching them carefully and reminding them those messages of how much they are loved and valued and how innocent they are. And be very careful that in your grief and in your dismay and in your shock and anger and all the other emotions that you mentioned so well earlier, despite all of that, you don't abscond on your parenting. You don't stop parenting them, and you don't let them take over parenting you, because children will. If you're wounded, if you're crying around them all the time, and you're not doing the things you used to do, they're going to try to fix it. They're going to try to make it better. They're going to try to become the little adults in the house. And while many children can do that, and especially our teens can step up in that way, we're robbing them of their childhood when we allow that to happen. So we have to be sure that you want to cry, you want to vent, it's understandable, and that's why there are therapists, and that's why we have friends, and that's why there are groups. But you don't do it to your children, because it robs them of their innocence, and we don't want to steal their childhood from them because you got a divorce.
Right, and that's one of the things that I love about this series, is all the different ways that we're trying to share how to become healthy people so that you can parent better, so you can show up in the world better, because it does just take everything out of you, you know, and too often people stay in that sadness, depression, and anger rather than, you know, really getting back on their feet. And just like you said, they can't quit parenting when you're there. You know, we have to play that role as a parent and not a child. You know, we have to then become the adult again, you know, so that the kids see that. And back to one of your keys is that, you know, you have to make the kids know that they're safe and that you're responsible. So,
yeah,
that's really good. So, Rosalyn, how do you talk to your parents about protecting your children or from the impact and emotional effects of divorce?
Well, let's talk about some of the most dangerous mistakes that parents make, and we'll be covering a lot of that at the same time. You know, dangerous mistakes are the things that happen. No parent wants to make a mistake, and no parent intends to hurt their children. But when they're so filled with anger and resentment and insecurity and all of that, it's very easy for them to start making mistakes that have dire consequences for the children. And one of the worst mistakes, and that's in any family, divorced or not, is fighting in front of the children. It changes who they are. Children are wounded when they see their parents fighting because they're helpless to do anything about it. They're confused. They feel guilty. Very often children will blame themselves whenever there's tension around them. They think, oh, maybe if I wasn't a bad boy yesterday, Mommy and Daddy wouldn't be fighting now. And so it's very difficult for them to cope with it. And what happens is that they internalize their wounds, their scars, their confusion, their guilt, their shame, or they externalize it and start acting out and behaving in inappropriate ways. And either way, it's one of the worst things we can do for our children. Another dangerous mistake is asking the children to bear the weight of making decisions or choosing sides. I know parents want to be the parent that the children prefer, and it's so tempting to let the kids know all the terrible things that the other parent did, especially if you've been deeply hurt, for example, by adultery, and you want to say that, you know, your SOB father, you know, was an adulterer or is a drug addict or a gambler or whatever the circumstances are. But again, it creates such guilt for the children because if they love this dad or mom who happens to be a good parent, then they're so confused and they feel bad about the fact that they're loving someone that the other parent is saying not to love. And so don't do that to them. It's better for them to be told you're going to be doing this in mom's house and that in dad's house and whatever the situation is, rather than saying, would you rather be in mom or dad's house for this? Because once you do that, they're forced to choose sides, and it just makes them feel so guilty, and it weakens them. Another very bad mistake is in any way putting down, disrespecting, alienating the other parent. Again, it's so tempting to do that, but it has devastating emotional and psychological consequences. When you're talking about the parent that they love and telling them all the reasons why they shouldn't love that parent anymore, put yourself in the shoes of a child hearing that. It's very confusing, and it does a lot of damage. And sometimes it creates a lot of anger towards you for doing that to them. And another important mistake is confiding adult information in your children in order to attract their allegiance or your sympathy. Teenagers who in so many ways seem like they're adults aren't. They don't have the mental and psychological capacity to grasp what's going on. It's hard enough for adults to be able to cope with the complexities of divorce. And when you start talking to your children and letting them know about all the anguish you're going through and all the feelings and using them as a confidant, you're hurting them. It's much better to use adults, find a counselor, a therapist, a support group, and use the resources available to you, because when you confide in adult details to children, it forces them to grow up ahead of their time, and it's very, very damaging to them. Now, you don't want to be lying, and you don't want to be creating stories to your children. You want to be as open and honest as possible, but every conversation has to be age appropriate. You speak to your 5-year-old differently than your 15-year-old. And so you want to be able to talk about the fact, it's okay to talk about the fact that you're sad and you're grieving and that you're feeling bad about the divorce and they can see you tearing up. But you don't want to be venting and raging in front of them and using them as a sounding board because, again, you're a parent and they have a life to live. They have school, they have friends, they have their activities. And if you crawl up in a ball and neglect that, then not only is your life being affected, but you're affecting their innocent lives. So it's very important that you keep that perspective. And also, you don't want to be using your children as spies or as messengers. It's so tempting to find out what was going on in mom's house while the kids were there and what happened when they visited or when either parent starts dating. It gets even more complicated. Yes, you want to know, and it's very tempting, but you need to put yourself in your children's shoes and realize that it's painful for them when they're caught between. Because if they tell the truth and they know you're going to be angry about it, then they know they're hurting you, or you're forcing them to lie and not tell the truth, which is creating emotional damage for them. There's no win-win for the children. And so it's much better to ask questions directly with your former spouse and not have those conversations with the children, or ask the children to be the messengers. And there's much better tools in today's world. We have wonderful technology today. There are online parenting scheduling programs that are very low cost. One of the newest that I really like is called KidsOnTime.com. And you can schedule every facet of the divorce and parenting. And it also, for one price, enables any therapist or attorney or mediator or any other professional who's involved to also be able to get on and look. And then you can have everything in writing. The emails are in writing, notes are in writing, schedules are in writing, there's financial information and details that are in writing. So there's no excuse for saying, oh, I thought you were picking Johnny up at 3 o'clock. I thought you were the one taking them to the dentist. All of those details are taken care of, and what that does is reduce co-parenting conflict. So take advantage of those resources, and if you can't speak one-on-one in person, if you can't speak on the phone, then you now have other kinds of tools and resources. And even if you can speak one-on-one, it's just smart to put everything in writing. So there's no surprises and there's no misunderstandings about every minute of activity that's involved with your children.
Wow, that's amazing, Rosalyn, what you've come up with. It's really nice, though.
Yeah, it's very helpful to know that these kinds of resources are available. I also love in today's technology the fact that, you know, with things like Skype and various other FaceTime, using smartphones and using iPads and everything else available, you can be talking to the other parent, you could be interacting, you could be seeing and showing the other parent things. And so time away doesn't have to be a time where you're missing the other parent the way it might have been 10 or 20 years ago. Now you can easily communicate through, you know, texting, emails, videos, whatever you want, and talk and show and share and connect. And that means co-parenting is actually more user-friendly than ever before. And I highly advise you be very flexible in the co-parenting situation. That means when your ex calls with a favor and says, I know tomorrow is my time, but I can't do it because such and such came up. If you do a favor and you say, sure, that's okay, I could do it, then you know you could call your ex and they'll return the favor another time, and then you have co-parenting at its best. You have collaboration, you have cooperation, because regardless of what you think of each other as individuals, you were both the parents of these children, and you will be forevermore. And you want the process to be smooth and flowing easily on behalf of the children.
Exactly.
So parents who are stubborn and create obstacles are setting themselves up. You've got years and years ahead of parenting. Why not make it as much of a win-win as possible early on and show that you put the kids first when you're making those decisions, not your ego? Because let's face it, the easiest way to hurt your ex is through the children. If you're a divorced parent, the children become the pawn. Both sides can use those children in so many destructive ways, and we see it all the time. We see it in movies. We see it in headlines and stories, and we see celebrities doing it, and we see our neighbors doing it. And the consequences are very wounded children. So we have to step up to the plate and realize that while, yes, I can hurt my ex by saying, I don't want you to take the children to do this, or I don't like the way you do that, and all of those things, choose your battles. Of course there are going to be times when you're going to have disagreements that need to be straightened out. There are always going to be ways that your ex does things with the kids that you don't like. And most likely that happened even before the divorce. The big question is, are you parenting with the children's best interest at heart, or is behind your decisions and your comments more of a way of getting back at your ex and hurting them, giving them a dig, making them look bad, or disparaging them in some way in front of the kids? And only you know that deep in your heart. And while some of us are deal with very, very difficult exes and have huge challenges, and in my coaching practice I sadly have to deal with that a lot, because not everyone wants to work cooperatively together, I do find that when you move in a little, you give a little, you're flexible or adaptable, when you take the high road, you're role modeling for your ex a better way of behaving, and they're more likely to work with you than the other way. Once it escalates into seeing who could hurt the other one more, there's no end to it. And what happens is that parents don't realize that the children are paying a huge price, because you see that when children are graduating from school and their parents can't be in the same room, when they're getting married and the parents can't be at the same wedding, when birthdays and holidays happen and the parents can't be in the same place. Do you know how awkward it is for children to have to work their lives around so that mom and dad aren't in the same room at the same time? It's incredibly selfish. And those parents don't think about that. They're so caught up in the battle with the ex, they're oblivious to the consequences for the children. And most of those children grow up to really resent both of the parents for doing that to them. I don't blame them. So you step up to the plate.
So how do you effectively parent the kids you love, even with the ex that you hate, since you've kind of gone that direction?
Mm-hmm. Well, what you do is first think about the children every time you make a decision. And there's some great questions to ask yourself that really can help you making some of those decisions. And one of them is, would I be making the same decision regarding the kids if we were still married? So before you make a decision, just ask yourself that question. Am I coming to a conclusion or making a decision and making an answer based on what's best for the kids, or because I want to get back at my ex in making that answer? And would it be different if we were still married? The more you can talk about parenting decisions that you would be making the same regardless, the better off the children are. You also want to be putting yourself in their shoes and understanding that they are hurt and wounded every time you're doing something that's deliberately trying to hurt their other parent, because children love both parents just innately, and it's very confusing for them. And if you do manage to alienate them, which some percentage of the population does, really makes the other parent to be a bad guy and slowly but surely keeps the children from that other parent and gets the children to even hate the other parent. When they're grown adults, very often they are very angry when they learn more about life from adult perspective, and they get back at the parents and are very angry and cut off relationships. So you may be able to, you know, manipulate your children when they're 7 and 17, but when they're grown, it may turn back on you. So you have to be very careful about that. So I suggest that you focus on sharing as much as possible ways that you can work together. See if you can talk to each other and see if you can create cooperation, win-win outcomes on behalf of the kids. The Little League game is coming up. Christmas is coming up. Birthday's coming up. We're both going to be there. Let's be on our best behavior. How will we work it afterwards if we go to dinner together? Can we spend 2 hours as a family or not? There's no end to the possibilities. Families that get along together have very harmonious experiences. Families that don't just create it, make tougher situations for the children. So you need to be able to work on harmonious cooperation and collaboration in the parenting arena. That's the only time you have to interact with each other. You also want to look at forgiveness. Forgiveness is a funny thing, because most people feel that forgiveness is about letting the other person off the hook and letting them get away with how they abused you and hurt you. And we're filled with the pain and torment behind the divorce. But forgiveness is really a release. It means I'm letting go of your hold on me, and I'm not letting you control my life and my emotions and my feelings anymore so that I can move on. So people who learn to forgive their ex, you've divorced, your lives are not as entangled as they were, you have the freedom to start over. If you can forgive your ex, you can open yourself up to more freedom for yourself, more peace of mind for yourself, a much better future for you and your children, and it opens the relationship to being more cordial and in some cases more friendly, just depending on what happens. Your post-divorce parenting relationship will evolve if you let it, and it can be more and more peaceful as the years go by. Don't forget, you want to open yourself up to other healthier, happier relationships. You want to find another partner to live your life with, and when you do that, a lot of the pain from the past can be let go of, because you realize that in many ways divorce can be a gift in our lives. Divorce can be a gift because it means I've learned new lessons, I won't repeat those lessons, and now I can open myself up to much more happiness. And my children can see me as a happier person in a happier relationship. And that is very, very important, to live your divorce as a role model for your children. Do you want to be a role model for anger, for toxic behavior, for thoughts that are filled with rage, for showing children how hatred fuels you and owns you and controls you? Or you want to be a role model for understanding that life has its ups and downs, we can forgive and move on for our own good and for the good of our family, and we can show our children that we've learned lessons. Lessons are part of life. We all make mistakes, and now I'm making some better decisions in life, because our children are watching us. No matter what we say, they're watching what we do. So
Auckland, do you think a lot of the reaction we have as a parent, because there's so much fear that we actually are so afraid our kids won't like us anymore, and so therefore we, you know, put that other person against us?
Well, I think there's a competition that happens in many, many families, especially in the early stages of divorce. We want the kids to side with us, and the more hurt we are, the more we want the kids to side with us. I knew intuitively when my divorce took place. Now, I was leaving, so, of course, I was the person who was initiating it. But I knew that if I took my son and did what so many women at that time were doing and just had primary custody of him and he only saw his father on the weekends or holidays or things like that, I knew that my son would resent me and be angry at me because his father was a very loving father. He was a good father, and my son was very attached to him. And instead, I encouraged the co-parenting, sharing him some days in my house, some days in Dad's house. I purposely moved so that we were both living in the same area, just a few miles apart, so he could get off the school bus at one house or get off the school bus in the other house, and minimized the changes in his life. He still had his friends. He still had his school. He just had two bedrooms with his things in it, and life wasn't as altered. But if you make decisions that are going to be more dramatically changing for the children, then, of course, it's a harder nut for the children to bite and harder to take. So you have to think about the consequences of every decision you make, and that's the most important message for parents to hear. The consequences of every decision you make are going to affect your children as well as you. So there are some very important questions to ask yourself that I use with my own coaching clients, and one of the most important of all is, do I love my children more than I hate my ex? Do I love my children more than I hate my ex? When you ask yourself that question, it sort of sobers you up into the nitty-gritty of what this is all about. Because if you're doing things to get back at the ex you hate, you're going to make certain decisions that are different. If you love your children more than that, you're going to make other decisions. And decisions based on love are going to be more effective for everyone. Another really important question is to ask yourself, what will our children say to us when they're grown adults about the way we handled our divorce? It's very hard when you've got a 5-year-old or a 12-year-old at home to think that they are going to be grown-ups, but before you know it, it happens, and they will turn around and they will tell you what they thought of how you handled the divorce. And are you going to be proud, as I was, or are you going to be filled with shame and guilt and remorse? Which brings up another point I do want to make. Important point is, it's never too late to apologize if you've made any mistakes. You may have caught yourself in some of the things we've been talking about today and say, oh my God, I've been doing that, or I used to do that, or I should have, or I this is something that I tend to do. It's so healthy to be able to approach your children and say, you know, I've thought about it and I've decided that I made a mistake in deciding that when we did this or didn't do that, and I apologize. I'm sorry. Mom or Dad made a mistake, and this isn't in your best interest, and from now on we're going to make some changes in how we approach things. Your children will really respect you for owning up to mistakes. You'll show them that adults do that. They make mistakes and they apologize and they make shifts and changes in life. And you'll be able to, your children will always forgive you. So don't be afraid of at any point in time that it's too late for you. It's never too late, no matter how long ago you divorced and what the age of the children are. They will respect you for apologizing and changing. The key is to keep asking questions. Another one, how can we make life better for our children after the divorce than it was before? In a lot of families, there was tension and either fighting or no communication. Either way, it's not a happy life for the children. you have an opportunity with the divorce to make life better for them. In many cases, the divorce is a better situation than prior to the divorce. So you could talk to your ex about how can we make life better for our children after the divorce than it was before. What can we do with them? And sometimes just parenting separately with the children and having more fun times is a great gift to be giving them. So you want to be thinking about how you can minimize the physical, emotional, and spiritual damage inflicted on your children as a result of the divorce, and think of ways that you can minimize that and shift it and change it so that you can have a happier chapter in a children's life. And that's why I like to refer to it as a chapter, because all of our lives are filled with chapters. We are not the same people in our 20s as we are in our 30s or 40s or 50s. And life is filled with different chapters. The divorce is a big new chapter in our life, and we're going to have many more chapters to come. And we could make this a wonderful transition, a wonderful turning point for all of us, so that we look back on it not with regret, but just saying this was a change, this was a shift, this was a transition for us, and now we can move ahead more happily. And if both parents have that attitude and approach in talking to the children right from the beginning, the children won't be traumatized about the divorce. It's the attitude we bring to it that really affects. If we're saying, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that could have happened. I try to stop it, but your father said this and did this, and now we have to divorce. I don't know what we're going to do. This is so terrible. Then, of course, the children are going to be in shock and fear and anxiety. But if you get together and say, Mom and Dad have decided that life hasn't been really happy for a long time in our family, and we'll all get along better and feel better if we're living in two separate homes, and this is going to be okay because we're still a family, and Mom and Dad still love you and always will love you, and now our family will have two homes, but that's okay. Then the children are not going to get the cue that this is necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different thing. It's a change, and change is okay. So it's all about attitude, and that's the kind of things that we talk about in the teleseminars and coaching programs and in my, you know, one-on-one coaching, is for parents to really get that together. And it's amazing how they can move ahead and have a peaceful transition through and after divorce once they both understand that they're doing it for their children, and it's the greatest gift they could give to their children if a divorce is necessary in that family.
Wow, Rosalind, you shared a lot with everybody. Just kind of tell us, like the Child Centered Divorce Network, you know, I know that you have all kinds of resources, and then your weekly newsletter I love getting, even though I'm past, you know, some of those things, it's still just so good to be reminded of many things. But tell us how your network can be helpful to our listeners going through this divorce, because you have
Absolutely.
So much on your, yeah, on your
and
site.
And most important of all that I did mention is I have a free ebook for everyone right on the site. So it's post-divorce parenting, success strategies for getting it right, and it shares a lot of the material that we've been talking about today. And if you go to childcenteredivorce.com, you could pick it up right on the homepage. Just give me your email address and it'll be sent right to you. I have a blog filled with wonderful information, lots and pages and pages and pages of articles. We have advice and questions and answers, and tons of resources, the best websites to visit, the best therapists and mediators and professionals and attorneys to go to who are child-centered, because we don't want to put ourselves in the hands of litigation attorneys who are just after your money and don't care about the well-being of your family. And there's just lots of advice. And then I have my programs that are available, especially the Mastering Child-Centered Divorce 10-Hour Audio Coaching Program, which is the one that I'm making available at a special discount today for your listeners.
Why don't you tell us about that? Because I am sure many of the people on our call and then people that will be listening would, you know, after listening to all you have, realize what a valuable resource that is. Why don't you tell us what that is? And you have made an absolutely generous offer there. Cheap.
Well, thank you. This is a very comprehensive, content-rich audio course. It's 10 hours of audio material based on a group coaching program that I did, including a workbook. And it just was designed to help you resolve the day-to-day challenges of being a divorced parent. I cover the warning signs that your children are having problems, which are very important. We didn't get into that today. Behaviors to avoid in your parenting style, we talk a lot about the path to peaceful resolution for co-parenting challenges. There are going to be challenges. There are ways to approach different issues. Effective communication skills are so important. And proven parenting success strategies so that you know what to do and how to move ahead with a long-term prognosis of how you're going to work things. Also have stress reduction tips and a lot more, because you have to be taking care of yourself all the way through the parenting. The parenting doesn't stop, and you have to make sure that you're able to move through it as easily and smoothly as possible. And the course has all these audio programs and the workbook, so you could take it step by step, hour by hour, listen, take notes, follow the workbook is full of processes and different examples and things that you can be doing to make sure you get it and you get it in the way that's most effective for your particular family dynamic, because every family is different. And so you adapt the information and answer the questions according to your family. And I include several bonuses from really outstanding experts in the field as well. And I put together the program, which is a $297 program, including the workbook, but I've made the price for this presentation just $97 for all 10 hours and the workbook. And I'm proud to be offering it to your listeners.
Oh, yeah, for $97. And one of the greatest things, you all can go to Roslyn, roslind.livingfreefromdivorce.com, and you can see the offer there. Just click on it, and it gives you the great description of exactly what the offer is in regards to that. Because as you know, as you go through this, you get your buttons get pushed, you know, your emotions are all over the place, and just to have these type of resources as reminders, you know, when you get in the car, you could just put that in, or if you're getting ready in the morning for work, put something in that's going to help change your energy from the anger that you might feel or the hurt or, you know, just feeling so weak. So these types of programs really, really are so beneficial for us as we're trying to make that transition, because it is so easy to get on the negative path of, you know, all the mistakes that you were talking about. It's just easy because we're hurt. You know, we're in a lot of pain through this process. So that is such a fabulous offer, and I certainly appreciate you being so gracious and offering that for such a reasonable price for our listeners. So go ahead. If you want to ask a question, if you're on the phone, just press star 2. And if you're on the webcast, fill in a question. And I know we have, you know, I was looking a few minutes ago when we do have one. So I'll share that with you, Roslyn, for you to answer. And then any other listeners that want to ask questions, please send that in to us, or like on the phone, put star 2, and we'll be answering your call. Okay, your question is, what do you do when the opposite parent continually makes decisions in a non-child-centered way and is truly the reason the marriage fell apart, but now in separation, divorce, You're forced to co-parent, and they have no routine, no bedtime, unhealthy food, speaking in front of the children inappropriately, any inappropriate choices for the child's age, wants the child to switch schools to move where they live when they keep moving over and over again, where the child is thriving, but they've been given joint custody and decision-making. I'd love for it to be more peaceful, but each day his decisions are not child-centered, and it causes continual conflict. We do most of it not in front of her, but it is continual and very difficult because it is present and not past issues.
This is definitely one of the biggest challenges that parents face when they don't have two parents who see eye to eye. And it isn't something that can be answered in you know, three sentences, unfortunately. But you do need to remember that these things escalate because both parents feel self-righteous and hurt. And it sounds like it would be advisable to go into a session with a divorce coach with both partners on board and see if you could get some clarity, because you need a mediator or a coach or some objective third party to handle and discuss things and then create a routine of agreements in one of those co-parenting scheduling programs like the kidsontime.com, where you make agreements. It sounds like there aren't a lot of agreements made, and both of you are just escalating things to get back because you were hurt last week, so you're going to get back when he asks for something else this week, and it goes on and on and on. You need to have a structure, and the more structure you have about how things work with the parenting and agreements, the easier it will be to follow. And then pick your battles. You can pick your battle about every parenting thing. I know one parent doesn't approve the foods that the other parent is feeding, et cetera, and it's very aggravating. Again, see if you could structure some level of agreement, but if not, you have to pick one or two or three issues that are really important and let the other things slide. Your children will still be raised. They'll still grow up, even if it's not 100% the way you want it in your house. And in some homes, the children have two sets of rules that are contradictory, and children learn to adapt. In mom's house, it's this way. In dad's house, it's that way. You can't control or change your ex. And unless you have some legal abilities to say this is an unfit parent, then you are challenged with having to create some co-parenting cooperation. And that means both of you needing to look each other in the eye with another party there and going down the list of every single grievance and creating a new parenting plan that makes sense, where you're thinking about your children. And if not, then you may need to, you know, take it into the courts and other things. But, you know, that's beyond what we could discuss at this point. I hope that's helpful in some way.
Okay. Thank you so much for your question, because that always just helps for such clarification for ourselves. We have another question on the webcast that says, what advice do you have for step-parents going through a divorce when the ex-spouse, who is the parent, deters their child from interacting with you? How can the former step-parent cope and properly interact with the former stepchild without causing conflict? Is it just a loss? Do
that's
we step-parents
very, very sad.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah,
well,
it
says,
very,
do
very
we step-parents,
sad. Yeah.
Yeah, just have to learn to let go after many years of parenting and cling to the hope when the stepkids become adults, they'll reach out to us.
Hopefully not. Again, it sounds like some level of counseling or coaching or advice with another objective third party would be helpful for this, because that other parent is so vindictive. The easiest way to hurt you as the step parent who has no rights anymore is to do that, and it's so easy to do that, but they're not taking into account the relationship that the children have with you. And that relationship obviously is a deep and loving one. And so not only are you being hurt, but the children are. And someone has to tell that to the other parent and remind them that just making flippant decisions to hurt you are going to be affecting the well-being of the children. You can't give up, and I'd suggest you stay, at least stay in touch through email and texting and calls and anything that you can, even if you're not physically seeing the children, and trying to create a transition where they are also suggesting that they see you more so that you can get their help. But the best resource would be to have a counselor or a coach or a mediator come into the picture to see if you can create some kind of harmonious way of setting up visitation and ways of interacting for the future. Because I know how painful that can be for a step-parent.
Yeah, especially when you build that relationship up. That's so very hard. Yeah. Well, I don't see any more questions, and our time really is up. Rosalyn, do you have any other comments or thoughts that you'd like to share as we're closing?
Well, I just want to remind everyone to watch your children, to watch their behaviors, because if you catch problem areas early on, they're much easier to deal with. When you talk to your children, you want to be compassionate and empathic, and you want to ask a lot of questions and listen even more, because when you lecture your kids and you try to get them convinced to see things the way you want them to see it, it doesn't work. You need to respect their answers and their feelings, and don't make them feel guilty for feeling what they feel. Don't make them feel guilty for coming home and saying, oh, I had such a good time at Dad's house, we did such and such, and then you make them feel guilty because they were enjoying their time there. It's tempting, but you don't want to do that. So you want to watch your children, see if their behavior is changing in any ways, and if they're acting out or withdrawing inside, if they're getting any physical ailments or regressing in age, anything like that, then you need to bring in a counselor, a child psychologist, a coach, a therapist, someone who can handle the situation early on before it becomes an issue, because you don't want your children acting out and suffering from severe consequences of the divorce. It doesn't have to happen. So keep in mind, do I love my children more than I hate my ex? And that'll help you make the best possible decisions every step of the way. And I sincerely wish everyone the best results. And if you are interested in doing any personal coaching with me, then you could contact me, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that as well.
Wow, what great wisdom, and what a great way to end, you know, because if you want to go back and listen to Rosalyn, remember it's replays.livingfreefromdivorce.com, and you can also go to rosalyn.livingfreefromdivorce.com to see the package that she's offering you. But the six key essential messages just are such a highlight, and then also the mistakes parents make, and remember to forgive yourself if you've done some of those. Don't, you know, this is the time to be gentle and kind to yourself, and not keep beating ourselves up over what we should have done or could have done, because we did the best that we could possibly do. So Rosalyn, thank you so very much for sharing with us, and all the resources, your divorce network, my goodness, and all your websites that you have to offer resources for people, and then your idea of your book. Oh my gosh, how personal and how meaningful is that for families as they're, like you said, the tough, tough conversation. So thank you so much for being with us today, and remember, tomorrow we're going to have Marcy Shimoff. On Fridays, we're doing this at 11:30 Pacific time rather than at noon, and that would be on Eastern Standard Time. That would be 2:30. Marcy is a New York best-selling author, and she's going to share with us how to increase the capacity to experience greater love and happiness. So our closing affirmation for today is don't go through life, grow through life. And just like what Rosalyn told us today, just see your divorce as a chapter in your life, just like our 20s or 30s or 40s. And I'm so grateful you joined us today, and we'll see you tomorrow. We hope to. Thank you so much.